Welcome again to our Voices of Pueblo 45 Degrees series, where we work with a local artist to dig deeper into the meaning of each mural making up the Pueblo Love You Mural Project. Running along the Arkansas River, these murals lean 45 degrees back and are up to 28 feet tall and nearly four times as wide. This podcast is brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. Celeste Velasquez is here to discuss her contributions to the project. You're one of the first muralists in the renewed project for the Pueblo Love You Mural Project, correct?
Yes. I was the third one to get a mural on and completed back at the beginning of the renovation. And we were just starting this thing, and honestly, it's just crazy how fast and how much it's progressed with over 100 murals now to date. And it's going to be almost 4 years this October, I want to say. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's definitely been a journey.
Mm-hmm. And so how did you start? Right now we have a lot more opportunity as word gets around to reach out and get a mural on. How did that start?
Honestly, I kind of just dove right into it. I mean, I got in contact with Cynthia Remu, and she was like really the first person that introduced me to mural work in general. And so my first collaborative mural was actually on the south side at Vinewood Park. And that was just to kind of get my feet wet with the whole process. And then once we finished that, I was like, all right, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready for my first mural on the levee. And so I submitted my application, and then it's just been downhill from there.
Awesome. Yeah. What was that first mural?
So for my very first mural, I actually wasn't sponsored for it. You know, it was just to kind of make my mark and distinguish myself as an artist on the levee. And the overall concept is of Gaia, which is, it stands for Earth. Yeah, the goddess of Earth, or Mother Earth. And being half Native and with my family that I migrated out of Mexico to the States, I recognized that there was a lot of indigenous roots here in Pueblo as far as like Apache and Comanche and things like that goes. So I wanted to really represent our community as well as myself and my history and just really create something that resonated with a lot of people here.
Awesome. Where's that first mural located?
So it is right next to the left side of the 4th Street Bridge, depending on which side you go. So if you go towards the Tea Palace, then you'll see it on your left side. And the opposite direction, you'll see it on the right side. You'll get about a 30-second window of it. And it was pretty cool the way the placement of the mural itself worked out, because at first I wasn't really sure. Like, I was like, oh man, it's probably like too close to see from the bridge, you know what I mean? So once we finally drove by and it was done, it was pretty cool to see it.
Awesome. Yeah. So you mentioned that you've done murals on the levee, off the levee, and you started with off the levee before you tackled that, you know, extraneous process.
Yeah.
So can you describe like what your mural work is outside of the Pueblo levee, just to get a grounding position of your own artistry?
Yeah. So originally I'm an oil painter, and throughout my childhood I actually like went through different phases of creation, so to speak. And but long story short, Cynthia invited me onto the Vinewood Mural Project, and that was like the first time I'd ever painted on a wall or anything like that outside of canvas. So that was really fun. It was really cool to see the different styles of some of the different artists that I was working with, and also just to get some of the community and the kids involved into it, because you know, kids nowadays, they get so bored sometimes, and oftentimes like they don't really know how to preoccupy themselves or be productive or purposeful about it. So to be able to see the little kids like help painting us on that first mural project, it was pretty cool. And I feel like that's something that sticks with you when you're growing up, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Being able to express yourself and also stimulate yourself, you know. One of the issues well, at least with raising a puppy, is overstimulation, right?
And, yeah.
Or understimulation. And so if you apply that to youth in general, yeah, being able to expend all that extra energy and then do it in something that you maybe haven't been able to do before, or maybe you discover, you know, that that's definitely what you want to do, is a great opportunity during that developmental time.
Yeah, and you know, like, that's what's really cool about it, is like when you just take a step back from like yourself and your creative process, and to appreciate like what's going on around you in that, and seeing other people experience like painting for the first time on a wall, or even being out on the levee, like that's honestly one of the best parts about it, because like people are so nervous, and then like it takes you back to when you first got on the wall, and like he didn't know what you were doing, you know, you're just like doing the best you can to prepare, ask the right questions, things of that nature, and then like hope for the best from there. So it's just it's all part of the creative experience, and I feel like that's something that deserves to be shared with everybody, you mm-hmm. know, because as human beings, we all have our own unique creative outlets, and whether that be art, music, poetry, writing, whatever it may be, you know, it's there's always something, and there's always a place for you to fit in that works for you. So
for sure. So you said that you started working in art from a young age. What was your beginning?
Well, from what my family said, I mean, I've been drawing since I could pick up chalk, so it's kind of just always been an innate thing to me, and throughout my childhood, it was really rough, so art was something that I really leaned on to just kind of get me through and to cope and to really take in what I was experiencing, you know, because as a kid, you don't fully understand what's going on around you like that, but you still feel it, and you feel that energy, and you still experience it, so.
Definitely, yeah.
It really helped.
You mentioned that your first mural was about Gaia, the Earth goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow that kind of theme with all of your artwork, or?
Yes and no. I mean, I like to classify myself as a more conceptual artist. I mean, I taking on commission work as far as oil paintings go, that really helped like jumpstart my business and the opportunity to be profitable as an artist. So that opened up some different connections and revenue and things of that nature, but yeah, overall I just like to express my original thought through my work, and the basis of my work is to build a connection with the viewers and the people that are looking at it, whether that be like feelings of anger or happiness or sadness or whatever it may be, and however it resonates with the person that's looking at it, I just want to bridge that connection, because at the end of the day, that's what art's all about. And so many artists like pour their heart and soul into their pieces and what they make, and a lot of times it's either overlooked or due to certain circumstances, like they just might not care or whatever it may be, but at the end of the day, it's self-expression, and it's just sharing the human experience in general just through your creative outlets.
And so you've had a few murals on the Pueblo Levee, right?
Yeah, I'm actually going to be starting my fifth one for the Audubon Club, so that's pretty exciting. I had a few minor setbacks recently in the last few months with my health and things of that nature, so I was a little frustrated to, you know, have to push plans back and things like that, but I couldn't be more excited to get out there now that the weather's nice, especially, and and just to create another cool piece on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What is the club you mentioned?
So the Audubon Club is actually, I want to call it a historic club. They're actually doing some, like, rebuilding on their name and their branding and stuff, because they're trying to go more professional and expand outside of the original mom and pop that they were in Avondale. But long story short, the Audubie Club was founded upon Charles Audubie, and he was actually a Frenchman that came to the lower southern Colorado area to reside. And before he established himself here in Colorado, he, I want to say he had like six French kids. And then once he was more situated, he decided to marry a native woman here and proceeded to have 15 kids that were half native and half French. But in his young age, he did a lot and he accomplished a lot. Like I said, he established himself in the Boone area, Avondale, Pueblo, that whole space. And he was actually a scout for the military at the time. He was a trapper. He did some of his own inventing and things of that nature. So he was just like a really big part of Pueblo's history. And with the Audubie family themselves, the whole purpose of this project specifically is to get their purpose out there and represent themselves on the wall in a creative way. And because it's crazy, like, for how big the Audubie Club is, there's still a lot of the family here and outwards in Colorado that don't even know that they're related to the Audubies. So to just bring that awareness to them and for them to appreciate it or just be in awe, like, no way, we're related to these people, like, I just feel like that would be a really cool experience. And then even for them to come down and see the artwork themselves in Pueblo, it's just a great way to represent who we are as a community and our people. So
that sounds great. And how are you going to manifest that message on the mural, at least in the pre-planning? I understand that in development it can change.
So the concept of the mural is of a map. So I'm looking to go like coffee stain color, just to kind of give it that old feel and vibe. And then, I'm actually going to have Charles Audubie's head in the upper left-hand corner and, along the lower area in the fronter portion of the mural, there's going to be the Arkansas River and it's going to run through, and that's probably going to be one of the few aspects of the painting that are going to have color. And I want to do it like a pretty electric blue or something like that, just to draw people in. And then throughout the map, there's just going to be all the locations of where Charles Audubie resided and traveled along and established his name. So there's going to be locations like St. Vrain, one of the indigenous shops that I can't think of the name of, a couple cemeteries, Avondale, of course, the Audubie Club itself, Sacred Heart Church, things of that nature, just to give everybody the overall perspective of his legacy and how far it spread.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds, you know, a complex and representative of, you know, that family.
Yeah. I mean, I threw a few concepts at him, and you know, depending on the client, it goes a lot easier or it goes a lot harder, just depending on like what they know that they want. So that's the overall goal that I try to nail right away. It's just asking the right questions, you know, kind of seeing inside their minds and picking apart their brains to see like how, like what they want to see on the wall and like what they see in an artistic way. So it's just being able to capture that, you know, the best way that you can as an artist.
Mm-hmm. So you have four other murals, right, on the levee. Could you go through them?
Yeah, I'd love to. So the most recent one that I'd finished is for the Pueblo Downtown Association, and that was one of my bigger clients that I was able to collaborate with, And that one was also, I want to say, like, the hardest project I'd ever done. Like, there was, oh my God, it was like a roller coaster ride, you know? Like, you had your good days, and especially in the beginning, like, you're all excited to start a new project, right? You're getting all your paint ready, you're getting your lines laid out, and you're starting to see where your subject matter is going to be laid. And then you just have those days where it's like, oh my God, trying to get the same straight line right 5 times. So it's just, oh man, yeah. Good and bad days for sure. But I mean, once it's all said and done, that's like the most rewarding part. And that's the part that you could actually appreciate, because it's like a breath of fresh air. And you don't have to worry about it ever again. You just get to sit there and enjoy it, you know, appreciate it for what it is, and just be like, yeah, I fucking did that. But so yeah, that was the most recent one I did. And then the last one was actually the Hands of Unity. That was another business collaboration, and that one has hands in the forming in the shape of a heart around the Pueblo Sun. I guess my rendition of the Pueblo Sun, because at the time, like, they're very, like, nitpicky about the logos, and I guess the Pueblo Sun logo was outdated, so I still thought it was cool, though, so I just wanted to still bring that concept in somehow.
And you could argue that it's an homage to the previous logos, like a history.
Yeah, and honestly, I do. I definitely stand by that, because it's like, it's the home of heroes, it's a logo that everybody recognizes the city of Pueblo as. And honestly, I don't really see or understand why they felt the need to change it. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain things where it's like, if it's been working for you, then there's no need to change it. You know, if it's successful, don't fix it.
Yeah, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. You got what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and then, outside of the Pueblo Sun, I decided to tie in the Pueblo Steel Mill in the background. And this one wasn't historic, but it was just something that I wanted to represent and tie into it to show the love for the community itself. So that was pretty cool. I want to say the hardest part of that mural is probably the clouds and just some of the finer detail of the steel mill itself. It could be really tedious, and at times I did get impatient, but you work through it, and it's not about how you feel, it's just what you got to get done. But the one before that one is of the Burckhardt Bridge, actually. So it's one of the 7 historical bridges of Pueblo, and that was actually my first community project, so that was pretty fun. I guess I should say first community project on the levee, and that was really fun. My sponsor, Kim Arline, she's a pharmacist at Parkview, and she was the one who sponsored the project, and we brought along some of the other people that she hung out with and things like that to kind of help us knock it out. And we did all 4 seasons around the bridge, and added like a bunch of little characters and stuff in, like a fisherman. I even put a little Easter egg in that mural of Kim, just you know, to represent and show her off and her support. And then it was just really cool to, like I said, see people get on the wall for the first time and their reactions to it, and then just kind of seeing everybody, once they were more settled and comfortable, go into a flow and just kind of guide them and really see it all come together, because the more people, the better, and the process definitely goes along faster, and it's more enjoyable versus just being alone. You know, you don't really have anybody to talk to out there. Don't get me wrong, like, the whole vibe and the area of the levee, it's really peaceful. It's one of the coolest places that I've ever got to paint, and the solitude is, it's nice at times, but it's also cool to have people to just be a part of that with you, you know, and hang out with after a long day of work, and you know, just kind of take it all in as you go.
Imagine, but there's a lot of community with that, with the scrambling on the wall.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think for that one, we had three or four ropes dropped down from the beams, and I didn't really want it to be like too crowded or anything, because I didn't want anybody to like trip up or ram into each other or whatever. So it was a pretty decent sized space to just have a few people on there and just adjusting or switching off if somebody got tired or whatever. So
yeah, you're staring at a color in the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, I can't even tell the different colors anymore. Please. Right. New section.
Yes. And then the very first one just goes back to Gaia. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Riffing off the idea that you work with a team, as we're doing these interviews, it seems that people have preferences and they like to do a mix of solitary work and teamwork. It's been interesting to see how different artists tackle it in different ways. So it sounds like you work with a team. Is that, you know, how does that process look like?
The best way to explain it is you feel like Bob Ross. you really just, it's all about understanding the techniques of which you need to execute in order to get a certain, what's the word? To just get a certain idea out, you know what I mean? So there's different ways that you have to go about it, and it, like, from holding your brush at a 45-degree angle itself, or just, like, doing certain hand motions to get a, like, a wispy feel or whatever, even just as simple as watering down the paint just enough. That way you get a good wash, and it's, like, not too heavy. So it's mainly just doing that, breaking it down for people and kind of guiding them to where they could understand and they don't really feel so overwhelmed with the process, you know, because what I've seen with, like, a lot of people, even last night, actually, because I had a little art night, and then I decided to work all night, and then I almost forgot that I had this interview, so, yeah. But, you know, people get caught up on the fact, like, oh, like, I'm going to mess up this canvas, or I'm gonna screw this up, or I can't do this, you know. Like, they quit before they even allow themselves to begin. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of implementing the fun back into creating. And it's like, you know, art is art. We are art, and everything around us is art in some way or fashion. So it's teaching people to embrace that and also express that without judgment or feeling judged, you know, like, because there's really no wrong or right way. I mean, there are guidelines if you're looking to execute something specifically, or, you know, you want to do something a certain way, then, you know, there's rules and there's things that are set in place to just kind of help you guide you to that point. That way you get the overall outcome that you're looking for. But and that was like really the funnest part about doing a community project, because, you know, you just get to see people light up, have fun, chill. You get to see people bond over, like, the process itself, and, like, and you know, I feel like more minds put together, it makes for a better outcome itself, because you get feedback from your people, and in turn, like, once they start feeling more comfortable, you see your people helping your people, and then, like, eventually you don't even really have to worry about it. You could just kind of step back and allow them to create. So yeah.
So it sounds like you do a lot of guidance work. Are the, like, how do you choose your team? Because there's a difference between, like, I guess, the certified, verified artists versus the people who dabble in it, people who aren't exposed to it, or people who just want an excuse to get on the levee, which is completely valid.
So. Yes, I agree. To be honest with you, I'm not really, like, into the whole teaching aspect or like doing straight classes like that. I was actually really nervous because I'd never ran something like that before or was in charge of a project like that before. So it was it was another thing I dived into, and and it ended up being something that I actually really liked, especially in a talking in terms of doing murals, because it's just, I don't know, it's, I guess it's more freeing in a sense than you know, just being stuck to a canvas. And I think it's more adrenalizing for people to be a part of. It's more exciting. So that in itself creates that experience. But for the majority of my time creating, I have been solo dolo along the way. But I'd be very much open to doing more community projects, because it's just cool. It's cool, and everybody deserves to experience that coolness.
For sure, for sure. So you talked about how you tied in Pueblo into your murals, and how you collaborate with people, to tie in their specific stories. What is your connection to Pueblo?
That's a good question. I want to say it's the people and the history. Like, I love the history, and the more I really got to learn about it, the more that I appreciated it for what it was. I mean, it really is a hidden gem. And to think of the fact that it would have been modern day Denver had it not been for the 1921 flood, that just shows a lot of respect right there for the area, you know. I spent the majority of my life here. I was actually originally born and from Norfolk, Virginia. Both of my parents served in the military at the time, so we stayed there for a few years and decided to move back to Colorado because it was closest to both sides of my family. but I mean, I really moved around a lot. I didn't feel like I had a home or a place of my own to call, so to speak. I just kind of embraced everything for what it was as I went, and I guess that same ideology pertained to Pueblo as well. And as of a couple years ago, I want to say it's when I really started to embrace my community and make connections, network, just get to know the people here, and navigate my way and define my space in the community. So yeah, it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, in a way, art can act as an anchor to your community, because you literally make a mark in the community. So
yes, literally and figuratively, and that's like the cool and fun part about doing what I do, you know. And just creating different pieces and beautifying Pueblo, so to speak, because art really applies to everything and every aspect of life. I mean, when you're talking professionally or in the business space, advertising, marketing, you know, fashion trends, when it comes to certain colors and even technology and the way that's trending with AI and AR. I feel like art is what creates culture in different places, nationally and internationally. So to embrace that is to embrace the nature of whatever place that you're at or that you visit, you know. And so yeah, to be able to do that in Pueblo and then to appreciate Pueblo's work, because there's so many different murals and so many phenomenal artists. It's just, it's a honor to be a part of that space.
I guess for reference sake, how long does it take you to complete a mural with that team?
With the team, I want to say about like 2 to 3 weeks on my own, depending on the difficulty of the mural and the detail, anywhere from 2 weeks to a month. And there are definitely other artists that have knocked them out in like a few days time or a week or whatever, but when you're doing it by hand and painting with brushes and the whole nine yards, it definitely takes a lot more time. So that's something that me personally, I've been wanting to kind of pivot and go into more of like spraying the spray paint technique, and not with cans, but like with actual spraying equipment and all the things that you need for that. Because at the end of the day, I mean, whatever you're doing, you got to figure out how to get better, right? And mm-hmm. and whether, I mean, in any walk of life, like personally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever, you're always looking for ways to get better. So for me, that's definitely a big goal, is to just kind of switch up from the traditional paintbrush to learning these new techniques and how to handle like that big old sprayer and just the different equipment to really knock them out more.
Yeah, I've looked at some of your murals, and it's a lot of detail for getting it done that fast, honestly. But I have an interest in art, which is, I'm an art editor, so I'd hope so. am I good at it? I don't know. I dabble at it. So for me, trying to extrapolate what I can accomplish with just like a little canvas and then to a large size mural is just beyond me. In terms of comprehending how much time that would take, so hearing that it could take 2 to 3 days to a couple of weeks to even a month, honestly, is just incredible to me.
Wow, that's that's really humbling, because I mean, it's I'm hard on myself, honestly, and I just feel like, oh my god, after 2 weeks I'm like, okay, this is taking way too damn long, you know what I mean, like I'm over it, I just want to get it done and then you know, just move on to the next project and the next project. But yeah, it's it just feels good to hear that, honestly, just from an outside perspective. And just goes back to like whole connecting with people and even doing what you guys do with the 45 degrees, like it's it's reassuring in a sense, and it's just nice to be appreciated in that way.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah, I imagine to someone who's done a couple of murals, it could start to feel like you're dragging. But yeah, to really ground the situation for you, our listeners, etc., it is a very different perspective from going from someone who's, you know, done a few to someone who wouldn't even tackle a canvas. So yeah, it's a good to create that bridge and just keep it all in perspective.
Yeah, definitely. So thank you for that.
No problem. Yeah, it is remarkable. And that's why the mere fact that we were able to get the record for the biggest mural project by, I guess, coverage, was amazing. And the fact that we're like, yeah, we'll tackle it again, it'll be fine, is also amazing.
Hell yeah, it's badass. And just to see the progress in the last few years, like I said, it's incredible, you know. And and I have no doubt that we're gonna get that record back for the largest outdoor mural in the world. Don't get me wrong, it was really devastating and heartbreaking back in 2018 when they were demolishing all the older murals in that area. But I think what would be more beautiful than anything with like all the new work is to actually connect the new with the old down Main Street and that area, just to really get it back, because we're running out of room. Running out of room down the 4th Street Bridge on the left side in that area, and filling up the historical space. So we got to make it work some way or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from an outside perspective of being able to listen to Cynthia Ramu about how she is able to, from the perspective of being one of the OG muralists, and then being able to infuse that kind of history and passing it down to new artists, is a beautiful way to like phoenix the situation, you know.
Yeah, I agree. That was great verbiage to describe that too. Phoenix, because it was like taking the old and then like fusing it into the new. And I mean, Cynthia is just incredible. You know, she's a firecracker, and I feel like the heart of the art community here in Pueblo. And I have a lot of respect for that woman, and she's helped me a lot, even in my progressive journey, and even still, you know, I don't think I've ever really had anybody like her as far as role models to look up to like that, so that was really cool to discover along this journey. And it's nice to even honor the older OG artists, you know, because they struggled a whole lot more than we did, that's for damn sure. hopping over the fences and dodging the cops and painting at night, like, oh my gosh, I can't even with that, you know, and especially during like the colder seasons, you know what I mean, like it's freezing along that river, like you get down close enough and it's like literally 5 or 10 degrees colder versus like just going a few more feet upward, and they're bigger, so it's just, yeah, mad respect.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, Cynthia was explaining that if they had a rope, if it was usually to hold a bucket, not them.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so crazy. They're definitely had like a lot of heart and brave, because oh my gosh, I mean, I even get nervous sometimes whenever I slip up. Luckily I've caught myself the whole 50 times or whatever I've slipped and, you know, nearly scared myself to death, but yeah, it just it takes a lot of courage to get up on that wall, especially with no equipment, man. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like playing with your life.
Yeah, she was explaining that she slipped in one time, had to be saved by the fishermen. So, yeah. So do you, like, I know some people like to get on it without equipment, and some people are, like, equipment the whole time, not playing with that. Are you, like, a hybrid approach, or, because you mentioned that you did slip a few times.
no, I stay fully equipped. I mean, I slip even with the equipment, you know, and there's been times where I've made some happy accidents, so to speak, because I would have, like, one paint bucket with all my technology, it would just be an empty dry paint bucket, my phone, like, paintbrushes, whatever I'd need, and then I'd have another paint bucket on the other side of me with actual paint, and then, of course, like, you have your harness and the rope and all that good stuff, so... Yeah, I mean, it's tricky even with all that, you know? I don't think I would ever chance it without equipment, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I'm a decent swimmer. I'm a decent swimmer, but, I mean, I have enough respect for the river where it's like, yeah, I'm not trying to do that or deal with that, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I went rafting last fall, and... the guide was like, you gotta have a healthy fear of the river, you know, like, you can respect it, you can be in it, but you can't forget that you can get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's nothing wrong with being ballsy or whatever, but you just gotta keep that in mind in the back of your head, like, yo, this could turn bad, like, very quickly if you don't go about it the right way. Mm-hmm. So you always gotta be prepared for that. And even then, you know, certain situations in life you could prepare so much for, and you still won't be prepared enough, you know what I mean? And I guess that's the whole part of the human experience, and people just having to experience certain situations for themselves in order to really learn. But yeah, I gotta be careful.
Yeah, there's a military methodology called risk management, which is how they approach mitigating all the risks involved, because a lot of times there are risks that you have to take. It's just how devastating can it be, and then planning for that. And so with the equipment now, you know, that mitigates it a lot. And then back then, they the original artists had a way. How important was it to get their art on the wall? And a lot of them determined that's a risk I'm willing to take. So, you know, when you put it in that perspective, it's like incredibly compelling to think about. And I would love to interview one of the older muralists again, because we did have Cynthia on it, on our podcast. But it'd be incredibly compelling to compare that kind of risk assessment.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, I agree. I guess from all of that, they were definitely really passionate about getting their work on that wall.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, man, yeah. It's a lot of risk, for sure.
And so, where can our listeners find you in terms of if they wanted to reach out for a commission or look for your work online, offline, etc.?
So my website, or the Legatio website, is legatiolimited.co. For those who are unfamiliar with the spelling, legatialimited.co. And you can find me on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. even YouTube, I've released a few videos on there. But not gonna lie, I kind of fallen off because it just takes a lot of time to edit and, you know, just create all the production that goes into a video. And then, like, trying to juggle a business and the art side of it and social life and all that. It's just, yeah, I could definitely use a team of my own for all that.
Yeah, you have to wear many hats as an artist because, you know, you have to be, you know, the artist, the in terms of product, and you have to create the product, and then you have to be your own marketer, so you have to market the product. And then you have to handle all the taxes and et cetera. That's like at least 6 departments for an average company, and it's one person usually. So.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, a lot of people don't recognize or realize like the extent and the energy it takes to make the system function, so to speak. And you know, anybody listening to this, if you're willing to you know, or if you're interested in helping or whatever, I would love to have you guys on and bring you in as a team. But yeah, it's a lot to do by yourself.
for sure. Yeah, mad respect to artists, and especially ones who are able to support themselves off of it. So that's one of my interests as an arts editor. So
oh yeah. I mean, you gotta be willing to put in the work to see the reward, you know, and, we're all in this together. It might look a little different, but I mean, it's still the same formula applied.
Certainly. All right. So if you have any final comments or anything you want to shout out, otherwise I'll go for the outro.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to everybody that listens to the 45 Degrees, and obviously to you guys that host it and, you know, just make this thing happen. I almost forgot, for anybody who's interested in following me on social media, my handle is @Legatia11, again, LEGATIA11, and you know, just to subscribe and be a part of the journey, and you know, just kind of get more insight of what I'm about as an artist and just the nitty-gritty of the process itself. But I'm just grateful to be here and be a part of it. So thank you guys.
Of course, happy to have you here. Thank you for taking the time to come on our 45 Degrees podcast. Listeners, go check out Celeste's art, whether that's by walking by the mural or checking out her other work online or in person. You can follow her at Legatia11 or LEGATIA11 on Instagram. If you like this podcast, please share it with a friend and give us a follow on your podcast platform. Again, if you want more background information on the Levy Project, go listen to our first episode with Cynthia Ramu, one of the OG muralists keeping our Levy vibrant. Thank you so much for listening.